The Veldt. George, I wish you'd look at the nursery. What's wrong with it?
I don't know.
Well, then.
I just want you to look at it is all. Or call a psychologist in to look at it.
What would a psychologist want with a nursery?
You know very well what he'd want.
His wife paused in the middle of the kitchen and watched the stove, busy humming to itself, making supper for four.
It's just that the nursery is different now than it was.
All right, let's have a look. They walked down the hall of their soundproofed Happy Life home, which had cost them $30,000 installed. This house which clothed and fed and rocked them to sleep and played and sang and was good to them. Their approach sensitized a switch somewhere, and the nursery light flicked on when they came within 10 feet of it. Similarly, behind them, in the halls, lights went on and off as they left them behind, with a soft automaticity.
Well, said George Hadley.
They stood on the thatched floor of the nursery. It was 40 feet across by 40 feet long and 30 feet high. It had cost half again as much as the rest of the house.
But nothing's too good for our children, George had said.
The nursery was silent. It was empty as a jungle glade at hot high noon. The walls were blank and two-dimensional. Now, as George and Lydia Hadley stood in the center of the room, the walls began to purr and recede into crystalline distance, it seemed, and presently an African veldt appeared in 3 dimensions on all sides, in colors reproduced to the final pebble and bit of straw. The ceiling above them became a deep sky with a hot yellow sun.
George Hadley felt the perspiration start on his brow.
Let's get out of this sun, he said. This is a little too real, but I don't see anything wrong.
Wait a moment. You'll see, said his wife.
Now the hidden odoraphonics were beginning to blow a wind of odor at the two people in the middle of the baked veldtland. The hot straw smell of lion grass, the cool green smell of the hidden waterhole, the great rusty smell of animals, the smell of dust like a red paprika in the hot air. And now the sounds. The thump of distant antelope feet on grassy sod, the papery rustling of vultures. A shadow passed through the sky. The shadow flickered on George Hadley's upturned, sweating face.
Filthy creatures, he heard his wife say.
The vultures.
You see, there are the lions, far over that way. Now they're on their way to the waterhole.
They've just been eating, said Lydia.
I don't know what.
Some animal. George Hadley put his hand up to shield off the burning light from his squinted eyes. A zebra, or a baby giraffe, maybe.
Are you sure?
His wife sounded peculiarly tense. No, it's a little late to be sure, he said, amused. Nothing over there I can see but cleaned bone and the vultures dropping for what's left.
Did you hear that scream?
She asked.
No. About a minute ago.
Sorry, no. The lions were coming. And again George Hadley was filled with admiration for the mechanical genius who had conceived this room. A miracle of efficiency, selling for an absurdly low price. Every home should have one. Oh, occasionally they frightened you with their clinical accuracy. They startled you, gave you a twinge. But most of the time, what fun for everyone, not only your own son and daughter, but for yourself when you felt like a quick jaunt to a foreign land, a quick change of scenery. Well, here it was. And here were the lions now, 15 feet away, so real, so feverishly and startlingly real that you could feel the prickling fur on your hand, and your mouth was stuffed with the dusty upholstery smell of their heated pelts, and the yellow of them was in your eyes like the yellow of an exquisite French tapestry, the yellows of lions and summer grass, and the sound of the matted lion lungs exhaling on the silent noontide, and the smell of meat from the panting, dripping mouths. The lions stood looking at George and Lydia Hadley with terrible green-yellow eyes.
Watch out!
Screamed Lydia. The lions came running at them. Lydia bolted and ran. Instinctively, George sprang after her. Outside in the hall, with the door slammed,